Yeah, so why don't we experience some of those breakthroughs? Why don't we experience some of those friendships that we know that God's promised us, the relationships, the providence, some of those things that we know God has for us, the promises that we know are yes and amen, right? That we know that we know without a shadow of a doubt that God's word is true and is eternal and is forever. So why don't we experience those on a daily basis? And I'm going to talk a little bit today about the supernatural, which is kind of weird for me because I'm not a practitioner or, for lack of a better term, of the supernatural. Okay, I wouldn't consider myself, and you guys have been here when BJ's been here, right? I wouldn't consider myself, what does he call himself? A glory carrier, something like that, right? Who here has seen Avengers? Anybody? Okay, it's breaking all the box office records. I know some of you guys over here, like, I got no time for that kind of nonsense. There's a character on there, and his name is Doctor Strange, and he's able to utilize he's the master of the mystic arts or something like that. But what's interesting to me, I'm not going to spoil the movie for you, but the new one that just came out, the Avengers have to travel through this realm that they call the quantum realm, and it's actually something that's real. Has anybody heard of quantum physics? Yeah? Does anybody know what that is in layman's terms? Right? Like if we were to go down to the smallest particles in the universe, like atoms, and break those open, atoms are made of things that are even tinier than that. So we get down to there are certain different types of quantum particles that scientists now have been able to identify and work with in laboratories. And in fact, the size of those particles compared to you is infinitely bigger than the size of us compared to the universe. Isn't that crazy? So in your body right now, there is a universe, or bigger than the universe that we currently can perceive, in you, inside your body right now. Okay, let that blow your mind for just a second. So in the movie, the Avengers have to sort of get into this quantum, and they call it a quantum realm, right? And it's interesting because the idea of something supernatural is permeated and embedded in our culture. Everybody knows what that means. Even in a superhero movie, right, we see that the way to victory is through traveling through this realm that they don't quite understand, but they know they have to go through to get to a solution, right? And I think one of the issues is that we stifle, and we're going to talk about this for a second, and I actually brought this up in a few sermons ago. What we do is we have habits of quenching the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we stifle or we extinguish or we quench the supernatural works that the Holy Spirit want to perform and demonstrate and show us in our real everyday life. Okay? And we're going to talk about that for a little bit. Because there's two sides of the coin. We either get into a place where we can doubt or even despise the supernatural works of God, or we use them to make ourselves look good, right? Without the central, and this is what Paul describes in 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, the central characteristic or trait of God that activates them to actually make real change. So if you can turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, and I want to talk a little bit about the supernatural realm, okay? And again, like I said, I wouldn't consider or describe myself as a connoisseur of the supernatural, right? But I want to talk about it because this is very much a part of everybody's Christian walk. We have to come to terms that God is moving and doing something and doing things that we cannot see, that we cannot hear, that we cannot fully understand, but they're happening, right? How do we resolve this? And we know that God's doing miracles, but a lot of times what we get into the habit of doing is thinking that God's doing and working miracles in other people. Right? You hear about miracles, you hear about people experiencing the manifestations of God in huge, you know, real ways, but it's happening over there, right? Back in the 80s, or was it the 90s, the USA hockey team was in the Olympics, remember? And it was the hockey team was actually made up of college players, and they were playing against Russia. You guys remember that? In the 70s? So this was at, I wonder, the height, or it might have been the start, or somewhere during the Cold War. And you guys remember the college players like were able to rally from behind and beat Team Russia, and then they went on to beat Finland and win the gold medal. You guys remember that? And what did they call this team? The Miracle Team, right? Miracles and the supernatural are embedded in our culture today. People know what they are, right? People will say, that team, what they were able to pull off was a miracle, okay? We throw that word around all the time. This week, Giselle posted this story of a little boy who was on the autism spectrum. It was scary and then funny at the same time. He walked out of his house. So this is super scary. He was lost for a little while. And this little boy was able to travel, I think, over a mile or a mile and a half. And they found him at the nearest Target. Okay? I forgot how old. He was old enough to understand, like, okay, he remembered where the Target was. So he walked to the Target. And somebody actually spotted him in the self-checkout line because he was wanting to buy something, right, through the self-checkout. And he was like, when he finally got there, he realized he couldn't pay for it, I guess, or something. And somebody spotted him, right? So a lot of people are calling that the fact that nothing happened to him. He traveled a mile and a half to a store unharmed, right? Somebody would call that, and a lot of people, even believers and non-believers, would call that a miracle, right? It's a miracle that nothing happened to that young man. And, you know, miracles and the supernatural are activities or things or occurrences where God will supernaturally or insert himself into the natural everyday occurrences of life, okay? And I'm going somewhere with this. Here we go. But what we think is that God does that for other people, right? God did that for that little boy. God's doing that in Africa on these crusades where people are being healed. God's doing that at Bethel Church. But I just want to remind everybody that we have had healings and miracles take place in these four walls right here, right? Les has prayed over people and people have been healed, right? Herman has spoken over people, words of knowledge and prophecy, and has broken some chains miraculously, supernaturally, right? And it's happened right here. In what seems like an insignificant little portion of Tomball, the supernatural is happening and occurring even right here, right? Because God is so big. This is the business that God's about. And there are certain sects of the church that will try and persuade you that God's not in the miracle business anymore, right? And they'll use scripture to try and prove that, you know what, that was done with the formation of the church. That miracles took place just to give them credibility. And once that was done, it's over with. But God's not done with operating in the supernatural. And for us, when we think and ponder those questions, why am I not experiencing certain things? It's because we are not allowing the Holy Spirit to work supernaturally. We're not asking him, give us the sight. What are you saying? Give us the ears. What are you saying? What are you doing? Let me hear what you're doing. Let me see what you're doing. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians and 13 in just a minute, but in 2 Thessalonians, I want to talk about quenching the spirit really quick. In chapter 5, in verse 19, Paul says, "Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything and hold fast what is good." So again, when we quench the spirit, it's like putting the flame out. Paul says in another scripture to do the exact opposite. The gifts of God, you know, flame them up, like get them hotter, you know, bring them up. But we either do two things. These are the biggest obstacles and points of resistance for us operating in the supernatural on a daily basis. The first is to doubt whether or not, to doubt that miracles actually happen and that miracles are something that God desires for your life, okay? Most of you guys know the author C.S. Lewis, super famous, wrote all the Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, the Narnia series, and all that. But he has a book called Miracles, and what he concluded is that most people are skeptical of the event of a miracle. Again, this is a supernatural God inserting himself, okay, into a situation, and that transcends the natural laws of physics, and we just can't explain it, right? Most people will think that they're either impossible, that they're highly improbable, or they're just inappropriate. Okay, that last one's a little weird. I'm not going to go into describing all of that. But he concludes that the laws of nature, as in physics and thermodynamics, do not limit what God can do. And if he chooses to work through you, they don't limit us either. Okay? If God is not limited by the laws of physics, by these natural laws of physics, they shouldn't limit us either. Why? Because Judy was already describing in communion, there is an attachment that Jesus made for us at the cross, right? Now we are co-heirs with Christ. And Jesus throughout the Gospels paints a picture of him performing miracles, right? The healings, the raising people from the dead, the setting people free, the demoniacs, all of that stuff. He paints a picture of him doing all these awesome works. But before he leaves, he says what? You are going to do even greater works than me. When I'm gone, what you do is nothing compared to what I've done in these last 3 years. And we forgot about that. And we believe it, but it's for somebody else. And it's not for anybody else but us. Okay? God desires for us to live and operate in the supernatural, okay? And to use those supernatural gifts in ways that only we can. So, we either doubt or reject that those miracles are happening, or we despise the fact that those miracles are happening. How many of us kind of have had some sort of experience in church that mixed in with the kind of supernatural stuff, okay, that left a bad taste in our mouth? Has anybody had an experience like that, right? And see, in 2 Thessalonians that we just read, right, Paul is warning against that. He's saying, don't despise prophecy, all right? Even though there will be people who use those gifts in a wrong way, which we're going to get to in a second, don't despise it, but test everything. Test everything and hold fast to what is good. He's basically essentially saying is, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? There will be people who misuse these supernatural gifts of God. Don't totally despise, don't reject what God wants to do, even through those people. Just test what's right, test what lines up with Scripture, test what lines up with what God is telling you. Hold on to that. Throw everything else away, okay? So we either doubt or despise that the gifts. And once we get past that, okay, let's say, well, I don't doubt or despise that that God works in the supernatural and whatever. The first thing we have to do, okay, and this is something that, this is a quote from C.S. Lewis here. He says, Christians must not only accept, okay, but rejoice in miracles and the supernatural as a testimony of the unique personal involvement of God in his creation. I'm going to say that again. Christians must not only accept, but rejoice in miracles as a testimony of the unique personal involvement of God in his creation. Why do miracles in the supernatural, why does it even exist? Why does God operate this way? Angela, when God hears your prayer that you need a breakthrough or that you need some freedom, okay, why does he even bother or care to help you, right? When we look at our bank account and we see a number that we don't like, okay, and we say those prayers, right? Why would we believe that God even cares to come to your rescue, right? And we've already said that this morning. It's because God is not just a good father. God is the perfect father. His love is perfection. He has a perfect love. And the scriptures describe that as agape, right? God wants to be personally involved in your life through supernatural works because he is the perfect father. He wants to give a piece of himself, a piece of the kingdom, a piece of heaven to you because he loves you so much. I can't comprehend how much he loves us. I know a little bit because of the way I love my sons, right, and my family. I got a little piece of that. But God's love is perfect. And that's why he wants us to operate in the supernatural because it unlocks all those gifts, all those promises, everything that he has for us. And it's the little things, right? We've talked about, and we're going to get into, well, let's go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter 13 here. Okay? And I just kind of want to go through these verses because I went over them this week and, you know, I've had experiences where in church, where it's left a bad taste in my mouth a little bit, but I know that I can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? But once I found out that, you know what, the reason why God, or once I realized and really let it permeate into my theology, but began to start to break down some mental barriers here, was that God ultimately has a perfect love for me. And in the Psalms, I believe it's in the Psalms, where God says, his banner over me, his banner over us is what? His love. Okay? I don't think anybody here watches Game of Thrones besides Les, because he's already admitted it up on the pulpit here. Okay? Okay, he doesn't anymore. But whether... I know. I'm just going to remind everybody. Okay? Regardless of whether you watch that show, or even in feudal times and stuff, you'll see kingdoms or groups of people, right, who identify themselves differently, all the way back to even the old Testament, where the 12 sons of Jacob, when we had the different tribes, you guys remember that tribe of Judah and all them, and they each identified themselves through their name, but they also had something that signified who they were, right? What were those? Right? Insignias, or there were banners. Okay? So there are certain things to identify what group you're a part of. And in, you know, like in things like Game of Thrones or even Harry Potter, you know, it could be like a horse. People identify themselves with lions, or there's a picture of a dragon. Okay? God's banner over every single one of us is love, is agape. That's what signifies us as a part of his family, okay? It's a banner of love. And it's not just something that covers us, right, for our own benefit, but it's something that we take out into the world to show everybody. We're about to come, okay? Wherever we go, we're about to come, but we're coming under a banner of love, all right? So in 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, if God wants to bestow on us these miracles in the supernatural... Under a banner of love, it says here, chapter 13, verse 1, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. Which means what? If I get up in front of you guys and I'm a great speaker, right? If I have the gift of gab, or, you know, I can really impress you with the way I craft a sermon or whatever, but I do not love you guys, I'm just making loud noises. They're empty. They might be loud. You might hear them, but you'll come away not any better. Okay? And we've heard people like this, right? They make a lot of noise, but if love isn't at the central core of this gift that they're operating in, it doesn't mean anything. They're just making loud noises. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. Right? The scripture, it's interesting because I like Paul, how he says this. Even if I have, not just the gift of prophecy, but if I can understand and fathom all mysteries, if I can have all the knowledge, even if I have all the faith, doesn't matter. If you don't have love at the central core of how you're operating, it doesn't matter. And see, governments now, I mean, man, they really, we have an entire agency, right? It's called the Central Intelligence Agency. All their only purpose is to gather intelligence. Intelligence, knowledge is very powerful. We can use it against people, like a lot of governments do. You know, spies, it's all about secrets and how you can blackmail somebody else, right? Or the way it's operated in the kingdom, and the way that it's operated here, and we've seen Herman do and different people do here, if it's operated through God's love, that perfect agape love, and that's the word that Paul's using here, it activates something else. And we've had words spoken over us. That's a supernatural experience. That's what I'm interested in. I'm going to keep going. Okay, so we had eloquent speech. We had even the gifts of prophesying and knowing all, having all understanding and knowledge of all the mysteries, and even a faith that could move mountains. And finally, in verse 3, it says, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but don't have love, I gain nothing. So even if I get to the point where I give away everything I own, all the material possessions I have, and not only that, but I'm going to give my entire body over, my life. But love isn't at the central core of what you're doing, then it's all for nothing. And why? Because like Judy said, Jesus did give that ultimate sacrifice, right? And as he lay, and as he hung on the cross, what was he motivated by? It was love, right? He pictured every single one of us as he made that decision. And as he told God, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, your will be done, right? I'm gonna wrap up here in just a minute. We're gonna wrap up. All right. Hello. It's God's calling. God's calling. All right, we're gonna go to verse 8 here. Why is love so important? This is an interesting little passage. We're gonna close with reading these last few verses here. Okay. Love never fails. Verse 8, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, check this out, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Okay, what does all that mean? Basically, right now, these gifts are helping us get through life right now, right? These supernatural gifts of prophecy and the little utterances that we hear are just a part of the full picture, okay? And these are, and it's funny because Paul in the very next chapter is really prioritizing the gift of prophecy. And he's saying everybody should desire to operate in the prophetic. But he wanted to preface it with saying there will come a point in time where even the little pieces that we hear and the knowledge, it will pass away. Because there will come a time when we're face to face with what's complete. We won't need that knowledge anymore because it will become fully known to us, right? And you know, that little verse when it says, we use it kind of, not out of context, but we use it when he's talking about the way I acted as a child, I put away childish things. What he's really saying is, when we're operating in that kind of prophetic gifting, we only have a small understanding, just like a child would. We only have a partial picture or an ability to reason out. But when we become a man, when we're a child, it's like looking in a reflection of a mirror. It's not exactly what the picture is, but there will come a time when all of that's complete. And I'm getting to this here. He ends the passage with this. He says, and now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? It connects us to the future. Faith is that tangible thing that we can do to help bridge what we know we don't or can't or aren't experiencing in the present, but we believe God for in the future, right? And hope is what helps ground and bridge that gap. But even there will come a time where even those aren't necessary. But out of those three, there's only one that will be eternal, that lasts here all the way through the kingdom. And what is that? That's love, right? Love is what we can experience right now. God's agape love. Love is what we can demonstrate right now, supernaturally, through all our relationships. And then it begins to activate those gifts of prophecy, the gift of giving, those all that, the gift of healing, all of those things, okay? Because love is what's going to last all the way throughout eternity. When we're face to face with God and we know everything becomes fully known to us, we won't need faith because we're experiencing it right there. We won't need that hope because hope will become completely fulfilled. But love is what's going to last forever. So whether or not we doubt the supernatural or we get into the temptation of using those gifts the wrong way, guys, the central core of this message is that loving supernaturally and allowing the Holy Spirit to give us those opportunities to do that I want that, right? I want to begin to operate in that. Yeah, you know, I might not see limbs being healed in front of me. I might not be able to raise a body from the dead, but I know I can go out there, I can go to work, and I can love my employees supernaturally, right? Less can be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and know, I want to give my Bible to Angela because this might be exactly what she needs because he loves her. Amen? Those little things, this is something that I can get my head around. And, I hope you guys make a commitment to join me in waking up every morning knowing, man, I do not want to stifle, I don't want to extinguish, and I don't want to quench what the Holy Spirit wants to do and work through me. Amen?